this is Amy Rose, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with your host, Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, I am so excited for today's guest because I have on the line singer-songwriter, country's very own female artist, Miss Amy Rose. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. I'm so excited to be back. Always love returning back to your show.
You know, Amy, and for me, it's always a pleasure to have this have these opportunities to talk with you because, you know, I see you doing such amazing things. You have just exploded in the industry. And let's start out like something maybe real simple, like your early days. And then let's kind of, you know, we'll basically pick up the pace as we go along. What I want to do is I want to turn the floor over to you, and then we're going to play some songs throughout this interview, including your latest track, One of These Days. So what I'm going to do is turn it over to you.
Awesome. Well, as I told you previously in other interviews, I was 5 years old when I got onto the stage for the first time in front of an audience and sang. It was Tammy Wynette, sorry, Stand By Your Man. I don't know if you remember that song, but I grew up on old country. I mean, the likes of Hats Pine, Dolly Parton, Tammy Wynette, George Jones, Conway Twitty, you know, they were huge influences of mine. And I don't remember a time where I wasn't singing. So at that point, I had been singing for a while. I think I was singing in the womb, actually. But anyway, I was five, and we were at a Promenade Days, which is a local fair here in Barrie, Ontario, where I'm from. And they had this singing contest going on. And I remember watching this contest, and I was too young to enter, but I kept, you know, I'm pretty certain I put on a tantrum or something with my parents, and I had said, I really want to get up there, and I want to sing. And, you know, my parents had said, no, honey, you know, you're not old enough, you're too young. They probably gave me every rhyme and reason in the book, right? But I pulled a tantrum, and sure enough, they talked to the judges. And I got my own way, and I got up there, and I sang. And honestly, it was that three-minute song that really hooked me in and, you know, is the reason why I'm standing here doing what I'm doing nowadays, and that's traveling the world and singing, because I was just captured by, you know, every second that I was on stage, and I just loved it. So, I mean, since then, my first album, we started working on my first album. I was 13 when that was released. It was a gospel album. It went on to do great, put me on a couple tours, the Gospelinium with Dorian Baxter and Conway Twitty's daughters, Joni and Kathy. I got to do a tour there, and then I released my second album at 16, The Last of the True Believers. You know, just continuous releasing singles. And finally, when I met my producers, Marty Beecroft and Glenn Colson, who produced I Just Want You to Know and various other singles that you're playing here today, just things just really started to happen. You know, people recognized, we released Party Like a Redneck. The music video got picked up by CMT. It was played all over the world, as well as, you know, the single just did incredible, you know, with radio. And I think we're sitting at close to 1 million views on YouTube with that single alone. You know, I'm just doing what I'm doing, and I'm loving every second of it.
Last year, when we had spoke last, your fan base has just really, really have touched a lot of lives.
And you know what? They touched me. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for my incredible fans. And, you know, I've got the best fans in the world, and I just love them so much. And, you know, for their kind messages, their letters that they send, requesting my songs on radio, coming out to my shows and showing me that they love me, you know, it's just absolutely incredible. And it's mind-boggling at times because, you know, you just can't believe that your song can touch someone that much. And I mean, you know, when Sunshine was released, you know, we got a large amount of response with that song, you know, and I received a lot of letters from people that were in the military or that had lost someone, you know, in the military, you know. So, I mean, to know that my song, you know, has touched someone or helped someone get through something just, you know, just really helps me go on and just keep doing what I'm doing.
Wow, that's awesome. Amy, let me ask you this. You know, being from Canada, do you see a large difference or any difference at all between Canadian fans versus American fans? Do you have more Canadian fans than you do American, or is it kind of...
You know what? It's funny because I think our big amount of our fan base, is in the U.S., in the U.K., overseas, Japan, I mean, Germany, Australia, like, they're worldwide. I think if you're a fan, you're just a fan in general. And I mean, regardless if you're Canadian or if you're, you know, from the U.S. or the U.K. or, you know, wherever you're from, you know, when I can testify to this because I've, you know, I love so many artists. And I mean, I claim to be their biggest fans, including Dolly Parton, right? So when you love someone and you love their music, you just continue to follow them no matter where they are or no matter, you know, who you are, where you go, you know what I mean? I think, you know, fans are just fans, and they are just incredible no matter where they are.
And you consider your fans also your friends.
Absolutely. Like I said, I would not be doing what I'm doing, you know, without their overwhelming love and support, and that just keeps me going every day. It keeps my mind positive and my heart open. So, I mean, without them, I would be nobody.
Right on. Amy, there's a song I want to talk about. The title of this one here is called I Just Want You to Know. Can you give us a little history on that?
I can. So this song, not a lot of people know it, but I mean, or know that this was actually a Backstreet Boys song before it was actually my song. This song was actually the one that kind of broke me into the market and helped me evolve in the industry in general. This song was my first chart-topping single. Music Row, New Music Weekly, and it went on to top many charts, as well as put me on, it's not very often that an indie artist ends up on the Pop Monthly top hit, and this song did it for me. So this song, really good friend of mine, Jessica Williams, had been bugging me about doing this song for a while. She was a huge BSB fan, and I loved it. I thought it was a great song. I loved their version of it, and I'm all about taking songs and making them my own, but with that country flair. So I brought this to Marty B. Croft and Gunn Coulson, who are my producers, and they loved it just as much as I did. So we went down to Nashville, and we recorded the single and released it, and it ended up being my first international chart-topping song.
Well, here it is. I Just Want You to Know with Amy Rose on Power Rock Podcast.
Looking at your picture when we first met, gave me a smile that I could never forget. And nothing I could do could protect me from you that night. Wrapped around your finger on my mind, the days of rain, 'cause we stayed up all night. You and I were everything, everything to me. I just want you to know that I've been fighting to let you go. Some days I'm begging through, and then there's no.
Bye.
Welcome back. We are with Amy Rose. Amy, you know, I've listened to all these tracks. They're all wonderful songs. They're well-composed, well-arranged. It's a great tune.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Listen, Amy, I was going through your Facebook pictures the other day. There's something I want to talk to you about. I don't know if you get this a lot. A lot of people may not know, but you're also a mom.
I am. I am a mom to three girls. Three beautiful girls who seriously are my world.
And you also have a full-time job. Talk about that just for a second.
I am. I am a full-time medic as well. I'm a full-time mom, a full-time medic, a full-time singer. I have a lot of alter egos that people don't know about.
That's great. Okay. And you said you had three children.
I do. I have three girls, Dana, Olivia, and Ella. And I mean, they are just absolutely incredible, seriously. And they're so funny. They love the fact that their mom, you know, gets to travel and, you know, do music, and they love it when they get to come sometimes. And I think I was telling you this previously, but I end up bringing my oldest daughter. She was learning persuasive writing in class, and she found out that I was going on an Ontario tour last year, and she wrote me a persuasive letter on why I should let her come on this radio tour with me. And, you know, so anyway, I talked it over and with her, and I said, okay, you can come. But listen, you know, it's all about work, and it's not going to be that fun for you. Needless to say, she came, and she had a blast. And, I mean, after we come back, she had told me, she's like, you know what, Mom, I've decided what I want to be when I grow up. And I'm like, what? She goes, I want to be a musician. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Oh, boy. That's it.
Oh, what
have
I started? I've created a monster. She wants to be a musician so she could tour the world.
That is hilarious. Next track I want to talk about, you know, which is actually one of my favorite. For me, it's the most popular that I've listened to it the most. It's Party Like a Redneck. How about some history on that one?
Yeah, I co-wrote this song with my producers Marty Beecroft and Glenn Coulson, and this song is actually about my redneck family. Not a lot of people know, but I come from the biggest redneck family that you could possibly imagine. I mean, we're a cross between Honey Boo Boo and Duck Dynasty, I kid you not. But this song in particular was written based on my grandpa, who was at my sister's wedding a few summers ago, and my producer had come out, because my producers are members of VIP, which were a huge pop group in the early 90s, and my sister was a huge fan of them. So Glenn Coulson, which was her boy crush, she had their posters on her wall. I had surprised her, and he came out and did a duet with me at her wedding. And my grandpa comes up to him afterwards. My grandpa goes, you know, son, you're pretty good. You can sing, but I tell you, that Conway Twitty, now that's an entertainer. And, you know, Glenn just looked at me and said, oh my gosh, Amy, this is a song. And we put pen to paper and we wrote Party Like a Redneck.
Well, here it is, Party Like a Redneck with Amy Rose on Power Rock Podcast.
It's a train wreck, what a mess, all out, that's how we live. We're down on country bumpkins, headed again. Down the road, we all go, bon bon, that's how we roll. If you want a good time, well, come on in. Yeah, it gets crazy, but we're having fun. So if you party hard, well, what we get done, then come on down to my redneck reunion.
Hey, hey, hey.
Grandpa talks a gone way to me. Grandma tells him to hush up. Farmer's daughter's looking pretty. Uncle Jack's looking for love. We know how to hoot. We know how to holler. No time better, get things better underneath the blue collar. There's backwoods, backwoods that you can get.
Cause that's what happens when you party like a redneck.
Girls won't go into last year. The two-step is set on the floor. Shouting Southern rock at the top of our lungs. We don't stop. Jumping up, getting down, we all want more. Yeah, it gets crazy, but we're having fun. So if you party hard, when the work week is done, attention to her shirt. The farmer's daughter's looking pretty. Uncle Jack's looking for love. We know how to hoot. We know how to holler. Love town better. Yeah, things better underneath the blue collar. There's backwoods, backwoods that you can get. That's what happens when you party like a redneck. So come on down and pull around. I'll show you how it's done. I know you're gonna love it. You want some more of it. We're straight up shooting party rooting son of a girl. So come on down to our redneck reunion. To her shop, the farmer's daughter's looking pretty. Uncle Jack's looking for love. We know how to hoot. We know how to holler. Love time better, yeah, things better underneath the blue collar. There's backwoods, backwoods as you can get. That's what happens. That's what happens when you party like a redneck.
And we are back again with Amy. You know, Amy, I want to share something with you. It's funny, we talk about a redneck and all that stuff. I live in what I consider to be deliverance. I mean, I live in Redneckville of the United States, North Georgia. And, you know, if you put cologne on, they know you're not from here because I'm not originally from Georgia. I'm from New York. So, you know, if you're not going into the club or something, you know, smelling like a barn, well, they know that you don't belong there. I just figured I'd throw, that in there. Amy, what do you think, or what's your opinion on the music industry today and how it's changed? Because we all know that it's changed. There's a lot of pros and cons with it. What is your overall feeling, or your overall opinion, rather, on the music industry as a whole today?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people ask me this question, and you know, my answer I think is always going to be the same. Anywhere you go, everything's always evolving, you know, because the times are changing, and with times changing there comes, you know, that involvement of, you know, the industry changing. And I mean, I love how the music has evolved nowadays. Don't get me wrong, I'm still that country girl that, you know, the classic country girl that grew up listening to, you know, your Tammy Wynette, your Dolly Parton, your Patsy Cline, and that won't change. I'm a country girl at heart, but I mean, country music is bigger than it's ever been, and, you know, any kind of music, I think, is bigger than it's ever been. When in history have you ever heard, you know, Dolly Parton collaborating with Led Zeppelin, or, you know, Tim McGraw collaborating with Kanye West? You know, it just, you never would have heard that going back 50, 60 years ago. And I mean, in today's and age, everybody is collaborating. You had your country artist collaborating with your rock artist, your rap artist collaborating with your country artist. I mean, I love it. I think it's incredible. And it's like we're one family. It's like we're one huge bowl of musical family. And I love it. I love it. I think it's great.
That's awesome. Can I share just a really quick story with you?
When I
was a baby, my aunt was dating and dated him for several years, was Mickey Gilley. He would have been my uncle.
That is awesome.
Yes, if their relationship would have worked out. That's just a little little fun fact about me.
The stuff that makes you go, hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what I want to do is I want to really get into your latest song, One of These Days. Tell us some history on that one.
Yeah, One of These Days is a song that I came across a couple years back, and I love this song. I mean, it has so much meaning, And, you know, it's that type of song where it's, you know, one of these days I'm going to get completely over you. But, you know, really, I don't know when it's going to happen. Heaven only knows that, right?
Right.
And it's about the soul healing and the process of the healing, right? And this song was produced by Grammy Award-winning producer Dale Oliver, who I was a huge fan of his, you know, even before working with him. I mean, he's produced a lot of incredible people. Carrie Underwood, he works with Bucky Covington. You know, the list is just endless with him. He's worked with so many people, and he's won so many awards. And, I mean, when I had the opportunity to work with him, I was just completely in awe with him and his process and everything that just goes with him, you know, what he stands for in music. And I mean, with this single, you can just tell, you know, I'm completely switching from the producers that I've worked with in the past to him. You know what I mean? Just my music style in the last couple of years has evolved into, you know, a different me, you know. So with this song, I put a lot of heart and soul into it. And you know, I'm loving the reaction that we're getting from fans with this one. And we're actually leaving in a couple weeks for a radio tour in New York for this single. So I just, you know, I love it. And I just hope the fans love it as much as I do.
All right. Well, here it is, One of These Days with Amy Rose on Power Rock Podcast.
Someone would tell me when I won't think of you again. I'll get past the emptiness and that little happiness back in. Pretending not to care leaves me.
Somewhere, what I need.
And again, we are back with Amy. Amy, I want to say something about that song. What I've noticed about that song is that compared to, you know, I Just Want You to Know, Party Like, well, no, I wouldn't say Party. Yeah, Party Like a Redneck. You toned it down and you kind of changed. Your vocals are a little different on that. It's just it's a different arranged song, but it's a wonderful song.
Thank you. You know, the funny process with that song is anybody that knows me knows that I am not good with change. I mean, I am one of those people where I am stuck. I probably still have the same underwear from the early 90s. You know what I mean? Like, change is just not me. And I had worked up with the same producers for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. And when I had spoke to Dale Oliver and, you know, he was producing this single, we went down to Nashville and I never met him face-to-face until our actual studio time. We went down to Nashville to record the single. And the night before we had went out and I had spoke to him through emails and telephone. We had been doing the pre-production of this song. And when I went down the night before, we had met him. And I mean, had a great time with him. And I told him about how I'm not good with change. I am the person in the world that hates change. And, you know, working with the last 6 years with the same producers and then changing up, you know, was really difficult for me. And so the next day, we had went into the studio, and everything that I had rehearsed about that song for the last 2 months, he had said, you know what, we're going to change things up. And I'm like, what do you mean change things up? And he goes, well, we're going to just change a little, just a little, you know, thing here and there. So he sat me down, and he had changed the whole first chorus, or first verse, sorry, the melody of it. So I looked at him, and I had said, Dale, did we not talk about this whole I don't do change well? And he goes, that's exactly why I didn't tell you last night. And I mean, it's just funny how stuff like that happens. And I think it's because of, you know, just his style and the way that he works is what makes this song different from the previous singles.
Well, like I had stated, it's a beautiful song. I want to go ahead and ask you one more question, and then we're going to go ahead and we're going to close the show out. What legacy would you like to leave your friends, family, and fans when you go on? What is it that you want people to remember you by?
That's, you know what, that's a tough one. oh gosh, you're making me think. You're making me really use my brain, Jim. you know what, I just want people to remember that, you know, it's a tough road. And I mean, I've knocked down a lot of doors, and you know, I want people to remember me as being a fighter, you know, a fighter for what I believe in and, you know, just everything that I stand for. And, you know, that's one thing that I've always said is I won't change for anybody regardless. You know, if they want me to change my look, my style, my sound, you know, I'm who I am, and that has gotten me this far. So, I mean, believe in who you are, and, you know, for every one person that tries to get you down, or break you, there's 100 more out there that really want to see you succeed. So, I mean, that's life, and I just want to be remembered as that person who, you know, fought for what she believed in and everything she stood for.
Well said. Well, Amy, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and close this show out, and I'd like to say to you that, once again, it was truly an honor to have you on the show. I wish you the utmost success in all that you do. I believe by faith, and I believe that God is going to open doors above and beyond your wildest dreams. And I just, again, wish you the utmost success. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I always, like I said, I always love coming and doing your show. You're fantastic. I'm a fan of yours. So thank you again, Jim, for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, there you have it, an interview with Amy Rose. I am Jim Madonna. We're going to go ahead and close this show out with one more song from Amy. This one here is called Country Crazy. Peace.